Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta.
My New Year's resolution was to stop being late. You know what they say, black people are always late. Said, I'm gonna stop being late. The thing is, though, when you start showing up on time, you notice when everybody else is late. My one homegirl, she's disrespectfully late. She was like, Zaynab, you don't get it. The reason why I always am late is because I need more time to do my hair. I said, cool. Thing is, though, her hair don't never look good. So now every time she walks in late, I'm like, you could have been on time. You could have been on time.
That's comedian Zaynab Johnson. Zaynab grew up in Harlem, one of 13 children in a Muslim family. When she was 17, she was hit by a truck driven by a drunk driver. Zaynab spent a year and a half in the hospital, learning to walk again. She talks about how that experience shaped her life.
Something like that happening at that age is really traumatic, and it, one, makes you very grateful to be spared in the very least, but also it made me, like, really look within. I think when I was a teenager, I was like coming into myself. I don't know if you know this, but I grew up Muslim and I always covered up.
Yeah.
And then maybe around 15, I started to not cover up. And I think I was exploring like who I was as a young woman in the world.
Yeah.
And trying to fit in and be popular and all of those things. And I think being hit by the truck, I think it did two things. One, it made me really like just make sure that what's in me has a strong foundation. And it also, I don't know, it made me really compassionate.
Yeah.
It made me really compassionate because there was another woman who was also pushing the back of the car with me. And her leg was amputated.
Oh, dear.
And so while I was laying there in the hospital, just in all of my vanity, like, oh, my God, this can't be happening to me. Somebody get me a plastic surgery. I remember, like, I had these, like, you know, gashes on my face and some of my teeth were chipped and, you know, and I was like, somebody make me look like I used to look, you know. And then my friend hopped in on crutches, missing one leg. And I was like, it's the first time I ever thought, like, oh, there's always somebody worse off.
Yeah.
And not that you need to think about somebody being worse off to, like, appreciate your life, but it really does put things in perspective.
Yeah. You went on to earn a mathematics degree, and then for a while you were working as a teacher. Why did you decide to give that up to pursue a career in stand-up?
My parents went to college but hadn't finished, and I just had it set in my mind that I was going to be the next generation that did something at least a little bit better, you know? And so I was dead set on at least getting a degree, and math was something that I had always been good at, and some of the positive role models in my life were teachers. And so it just made sense to me to go into that direction, and actually, a friend of mine who had finished college maybe a year before I did, she was like, I'm moving to L.A. to be a famous actress. And I was like, oh, she can't be famous without me. And I just, you know, that same year, my dad had passed away. And
I'm sorry.
just another, like, reminder, like, you know, time is of the essence, no regrets. Like, what are my intentions in this life? What am I seeking? What, you know, what's my legacy? What am I looking to do? And I'm not sure if later in life I'll become a teacher in a classroom, or maybe through comedy or some other platform I'll be teaching in other ways. But I just knew that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing at that time.
Yeah. Well, I think you are. I think it's fair to say that you are doing some teaching already with, you know, a lot of the content of your stand-up, I think.
I hope so.
I think you're doing it.
I hope so. I mean, it does feel better when people can take something of substance away from my act.
Yay, yay, yay. Give it up for my afro. It excites me because I had a shaved head for 7 years. I was never late anywhere. When I started growing it back, my friend was like, Zaynab, I didn't know your hair grew like that. I was like what? I tried to lead her down a racism trap. I was like, how does my hair grow? She was like, you know, it's tight and coarse. I was like, oh, no, that's the misconception. My hair grows very straight. Then I walk out into the world and oppression makes it tight and coarse.
You grew up in Harlem as one of 13 siblings in a Muslim family. How has this life experience shaped your comedy?
I don't know if being Muslim has shaped my comedy. I mean, I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And for a very long time, I hated being Muslim. And not the actual belief of it, mm-hmm. just the practice of it. It can be a very, like all religions, but I think more so it can just appear to be more strict.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain things in the practice of Islam that just was a major inconvenience in my life as a kid, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
And it immediately set me apart from everybody else. And I didn't like that. And so I wanted to be as far away from Islam as possible. But while I was in college, I took an elective course. It was the history of religion, and it opened my eyes up to a lot of things that I just wasn't taught and didn't know, not only about Islam, but about Christianity, about Judaism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that put me back in that had me sort of seek, okay, like, what do I believe? What do I stand for? And then it made me sort of research where my faith lied,
mm-hmm.
and I became proud of it.
Mm, yeah.
And then when I started, there's always been, like, a negative rhetoric regarding Islam in this country specifically and across the world. And I just felt like when I started comedy, any images of Muslims that I saw on TV or in media or, you know, there was a fear there.
Mm.
You know, I was in New York when 9/11 happened.
Mm.
And there was just a fear of Muslims there. And I was like, wow, well, I'm a Muslim and I don't want people to fear me. I don't want people to think that I have these same beliefs. So I have to give them another alternative to this identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way my faith influences my comedy. In terms of being one of 13, I think there's a certain aspect of that of being a part of a group where you can't, you don't stand, you know, like I had to share everything. I think maybe I chose stand up because I stand there alone.
Mm.
And it's just me. And It's like all if there's glory, I get all the glory. If I fail, I fail alone. You know, like
mm-hmm.
I think that may be the subconscious thing about stand up that appeals to me.
Yeah, it's all independent and it's all
yes.
on you. Success or failure, it's all, and you have total creative control over what you're doing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you think it is that makes your comedy different, your stand up comedy different from other comedians' work?
I think I know my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is an asset. Like, I know comedians spend years trying to find their voice. You'll hear, like, you know, some respected person in comedy say to a younger comedian, like, you know, when you find your voice, you'll be great. And I think that I found my voice early.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And You're either like me and you're going to identify with who I am because I'm a reflection of you, or I'm completely different and you are going to enjoy the journey of exploring somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my sets, a lot of times there's tension.
Yeah.
And then I'll break the tension with the joke.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's kind of who I am in real life too, and I just try and bring exactly who I am in real life to the stage.
13 of us, 7 brothers, 5 sisters, and it's all from the same mother and father, and I brag about that. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, that's the thing that made me feel like I was winning. When things wasn't going my way, that was the thing that I felt like I had over people, you know? Like, kids would come up to me in school and be like, Zainab, did you get an A on a test? I'd be like, no. But I know my father. I come from a 2-parent home. What are the odds? I used it the other day. My homegirl, she was too happy. She was like, Zainab, he put a ring on it. Oh, my God, he loves me. I was like, oh, my God, you're getting married. That's so great. But who's going to walk you down the aisle?
You mentioned that you found your comedic voice early on in your career. Do you think your comedic voice has evolved over the 10 years that you've been doing stand-up? Has it changed in any way?
I think I've gotten more comfortable in silence. Mm. I actually, if you, you know, watch any of my longer sets, I revel in the silence.
Yeah, yeah.
In a room. And I think most comedians are afraid of that, especially a comedian that's only been doing it for 8 years like me, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's not the comfort place for most comedians, but that's where I find my comfort, when the crowd is completely silent.
Mm, yes, yes, and silence can be very powerful, especially, as you say, in stand-up, where a lot of comedians most probably are afraid of silence.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to have a whole 45-minute show of people just being dead silent.
No, that's for Marcel Marceau and mimes. Yeah, that's for them. But yeah, but no. But you use it. No, I know exactly what you mean. You use it very powerfully. Yeah. Besides your stand-up work, you also have your own podcast, which is called Honest Tea with Z, and Honest Tea is spelled H-O-N-E-S, capital T, capital E, capital A. Can you mm-hmm. tell me a bit about your podcast and why you do it?
Absolutely. It's another way for the people who are interested in my comedy or my point of view to connect with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll be in Minnesota or Philadelphia or wherever, and you get to see me, and then for a whole nother year, you don't get to see me. And so this is a way for them to sort of directly connect with not only what's going on in the world, but what's going on in the world through my point of view. Welcome to Honest Tea with me, long time no Z, right?
Been gone for a minute, now I'm back, I'm jumped off.
To the listeners that hit me like, hey girl, with all due respect, when are you putting out another episode? Thank you for holding me accountable and letting me know that you guys miss me when I'm gone, and I do apologize. The title came from... I was in a car with two other female comedians in New York, and one was asking for advice. And I'm typically like the bottom line person. Like I can wrap it in like comfort, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to give you what is facts.
Yeah.
And so my friend was asking for advice, and I just broke it down. Like I bought her, and she was like, okay, Honest Tea with Z. And I was like, oh my God, I think that's the title of this podcast that I want to do. And I wanted to create a space where I could chat with my audience about things that may or may not be true, things that we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this whole like fake news phenomena.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also wanted to give like, you know, give some factual information too. But it's all like in line with my comedy, which is all a conversation.
The description of your podcast on the homepage says that you're discussing your own personal experiences as well as newsworthy stories, and nothing is off limits, which raises a question in my mind. Is there anything that is off limits in your stand-up comedy?
No. The only thing that's off limits in my stand-up comedy is me foregoing who I am for the sake of something funny.
Okay, yeah. Do you have a favorite joke that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I have a few. I think the joke that I enjoy telling any jokes that have to do with my family.
I grew up in a house with married parents, so I want to be married. I really want to be married, but I feel a pressure to marry a black guy. I really do. Of all my siblings, five of them are married. None of them have married a black person. Like, we were so happy when my brother started dating a black girl, we didn't care that he was cheating on his wife. I found out later she was Dominican. I was like, we'll take it. We'll take it.
I really like that joke because it's so unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so unexpected. And most recently, I really like the joke about me trying to figure out if my brother was gay.
Yes.
You know, the journal joke. I love that joke.
It's 13 of us. Somebody should be gay, right? Statistically. They say one in every five Americans is gay. It's 13 of us. We should have two and a half. Like two and a bisexual, right? My younger brother, he was a good suspect. I stole his journal because I was like, I'm gonna crack this case. I was like, the information is in his journal. All I have to do is find it. We'll invite him out the closet. So I read his journal, come to find out he's in love with this girl. I was pissed. I confronted him. I'm like, what is this? He said, Zainab, you read my journal? I was like, you're not gay? You have a journal.
Zainab Johnson is a stand-up comedian and podcast host. You can find out more about Zainab at wpr.org/beta.